The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The 888-729-3776, The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. So Derek Chauvin, the officer who knelt on the neck of George Floyd for over 9 minutes and murdered him, was quickly found guilty of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter by a jury Tuesday. Look, there's a lot to say about this. We talked about it all show on First Take. It's on a lot of people's minds today. This is a sports network, obviously, ESPN. So we oftentimes, as I mentioned on First Take, try to kind of, if not shoehorn something into sports, which is tangentially related or which touches sports, at least see it through the prism of sports and athletes and what this means and how it affects things. In this case, however, that not that it's often not a legitimate way to look at it, but obviously we are inclined to look at it that way, given that ESPN is a sports network. But in this case, athletes really took a leadership role. This goes back to against the backdrop of a pandemic, nationwide protests in the streets over this issue. And you can even take it back further, because Colin Kaepernick knelt 5 years ago. At first, he sat during the national anthem. Then Nate Boyer, former military, felt like that was disrespectful and came together and talked to Kaepernick, and they came up with, what about kneeling? Because that's a universal show of respect, and yet you're also protesting. Kaepernick agreed. So, and he knelt broadly for social justice, but more narrowly, more specifically, for the issue of police interaction with communities of color, police brutality toward black people. Still didn't have a job in the NFL. 5 years later, didn't have a job in the NFL. But that really ratcheted things up, because then President Trump mentioned it directly and all hell broke loose. Used it as a political football, so to speak. And against that backdrop, when George Floyd was murdered, there were nationwide protests, and people were bracing for more of the same, because the sense was this was, they, you know, Chauvin wouldn't be convicted, at least not of all counts, because so often police officers are not when they murder black people. But in this case, not only was there that backdrop of civil unrest, but there was video evidence. And oftentimes video evidence isn't enough. In this case, it was. This was an open and shut case. Shouldn't have taken a jury very long. It didn't. And they came back with a conviction. Keep in mind, the original statement about this out of Minneapolis, before they were aware there was video of the murder, was that a man died of medical complications during an arrest. But there was video evidence, and so people know what happened and a jury convicted. There's a lot of sense throughout the sports world. LeBron James, you can see it on ESPN Plus right now, tweeted out accountability, all caps. Naomi Osaka, I was going to make a celebratory tweet, but then I was hit with sadness because we're celebrating something that is clear as day. The fact that so many injustices occurred to make us hold our breath toward this outcome is really telling. A lot of people felt that way. When it was mentioned today, Renee Montgomery, let's make this the new normal, accountability is served, hashtag George Floyd. A lot of people felt that way. Bubba Wallace, justice served on all counts, good, still a ton of work to do, continue to rest peacefully, George Floyd. You know, like when Jackie Robinson broke the color line in Major League Baseball. How do you feel about that? Of course, you want to celebrate. It's a watershed moment. And on the other hand, wait a minute. We're celebrating just kind of what should be status quo? Just just respect for everyone's human rights and dignity? We have to celebrate this? Michael Wilbon of PTI, of course, weighed in on the 7 o'clock Sports Center last night.
You know, was able to talk to several people in the athletic world today. I am relieved. This is the only just verdict, the only just outcome. I'm relieved. I'm not hopeful yet. There are too many people who've been murdered since George Floyd in a similar way, in similar ways. So I'm not hopeful yet. Sorry, I know some people are. I'm not in a celebratory way yet. I've seen too much of this my entire life. I'm 60 years old. I've seen 60 years of it.
Meantime, Raiders owner Mark Davis tweeted out, "I can breathe," and was roundly criticized for it because it was, "I can breathe" was a so-called Blue Lives Matter, which was a reaction to Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, which a lot of people didn't understand at first. A lot of white people, all lives matter. I'm sorry, Brendan jumped in my ear. What'd you say? The team tweeted it, right, but Mark Davis took ownership of it. He said that he took responsibility for the tweet and didn't include anyone else, by the way. He said, it's me. At any rate, Black Lives Matter, originally, of course, the understanding was parenthetically two. Black Lives Matter, two. A lot of white people were confused by this. What do you mean Black Lives Matter? All lives matter. Yes, yes, that's true. That's what black people are saying. All lives do matter, including ours. But it seems that other lives matter more than ours. Therefore, black lives matter. You know, the understanding being parenthetically too. Black lives matter too. The reaction to this was that some police came up with, because there were people were wearing T-shirts after Eric Gardner, "I can't breathe." We're wearing T-shirts, "I can breathe." You know, Blue Lives Matter, "I can breathe." And so people thought maybe Mark Davis was echoing that sentiment. And in fact, what it seems is that, well, what he said was that he, quote, took the lead. He told ESPN's Paul Gutierrez, he meant no disrespect to George Floyd's family, with a tweet. And he took the lead from George Floyd's brother, who said following the verdict, "Today we are able to breathe again." And Mark Davis, Raiders owner, said, "I felt it was a powerful statement." But he doesn't plan to delete the team's tweet. And this is interesting to me because on the one hand, I don't believe that people, many of whom are not African-American, right, looking for something to be offended by or indignant about, want to point the kind of focus of the mob's ire towards someone, something. Oh, Mark Davis made a misstep. Got him. And to me, that just lends credence to the opposition of social justice, and they're marshaling their forces already. The opposition of social justice, oh, the woke mob. They try to mock people of who are socially conscious as the quote-unquote woke mob, which is ridiculous until people start kind of directing their righteous indignation in destructive ways toward would-be allies. So on the one hand, I don't like that reaction to Mark Davis's tweet. On the other hand, if you are a billionaire who's not used to being told what to do or having to do things you don't want to do, and you find out, in fact, what you've written was insensitive, offensive, or tone deaf, and you still stubbornly refuse to take down the tweet, you stubbornly refuse to change, Dan Snyder doubled down, kept doubling and tripling down on the Washington franchise's name once upon a time. That doesn't say such great things. So I don't suggest that we alienate potential allies of goodwill, and that may be Mark Davis. But I also suggest that before he stubbornly refuses to change something simply because he feels pressure to do so and he doesn't like that feeling, he should consider very carefully his behavior. Carl Douglas, civil rights, wrongful death lawyer, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline, an old friend of the Max and Marcella show and of this show. Carl, are you there?
Yes, sir, Max. Good to hear from you, my friend. I love your thoughts, brother.
Thank you, sir. So I was just discussing Mark Davis. And before I get into that, do you have any kind of big picture thoughts? Or let me be more specific. What was your reaction to the verdict?
You know, Max, I echo the thoughts of my Northwestern alum, Michael Wilbon. I'm 65 years old to his 60. We sat together in the dorms and ate breakfast back in the day. And I, too, was relieved, but I was not exhilarated. Max, I've taken in 6 new death cases of black and brown men shot by the police in Los Angeles County since George Floyd died. I got a case, Max, involving Oro Nunez Sr., N-U-N-I-S, out of Chula Vista, California, where he, 5'4", 145 pounds, was suffocated by 5 Chula Vista police officers, each of whom were wearing body cameras. And when they see the video from that death, it will make George Floyd pale by comparison.
Look, talking to Carl Douglas, civil rights and wrongful death lawyer here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the whole world, including the sports world, reacting to the Derek Chauvin verdict, guilty on all 3 counts for the murder of George Floyd. It seems to me, Carl, that the forces of injustice have immediately begun to marshal their power and organize against a world changing in ways they don't like. For example, they don't like the results of an election. Georgia makes it harder to vote. Voter suppression laws, which echo, it's not the exact same thing, but they echo the kind of measures that were taken during Reconstruction, right after slavery, which were meant to disempower, to purge from the voter rolls black men, black people. Men were the only people who could vote then. And they were largely successful. And sure enough, black voices are heard and voices of social consciousness are heard. People don't like it. They try to make it harder for those people to vote. But in addition, there are all these bills now coming forth from state legislatures, which are essentially anti-protest bills, not as a reaction to the insurrection by white supremacists largely at the Capitol, but as a reaction to largely peaceful protests that seemed to have brought about change. What is your reaction to the reaction of those forces of injustice who are marshaling their power now at the legislative level to ensure that the status quo remains?
Max, I heard you talking about that this morning on First Take, and I was not aware of that. But it took me back to my first days in political science class, where I was taught that power concedes nothing voluntarily. So is it really any wonder when the power structure feels under attack? They will then circle the wagons and do everything they can do to preserve power. When you think about it, man, 150 million Americans voted this past election. By far the largest number ever. And if anyone is interested in true justice, they should be making bills, making it easier for Americans to vote, not making it more difficult. So it harkens me back to those days in college, and it really signifies how important it is that voices such as yours bring light to things that are otherwise in the dark, because that's the only way there can ever be any beginnings of change.
On the one hand, I hear your sentiments, repeated frequently, talking to Carl Douglas, civil rights and wrongful death lawyer here at the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. It's at CEDESQ as an Esquire. CEDESQ, you can follow him. So on the one hand, I hear you, Carl. I hear people saying, look, why are we, you know, I don't feel like celebrating something like the exception to the rule, finally, with incontrovertible video evidence against the backdrop of nationwide protests. We get a guilty verdict. We're supposed to celebrate. And on the other hand, Carl, I think, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation didn't end slavery. Neither did Juneteenth. Neither did Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, or Brown versus the Board of Education, or the Civil Rights Act of 1964, nor will this. And yet, symbols are important. You know, I think about, like, criminal justice reform is actually a much bigger issue. The industrial prison complex, right? A much bigger issue for African Americans systemically than, say, police brutality. Right. It's a more important issue. And yet it's not as emotive. It doesn't galvanize people the same way. And so while I hear what you're saying, and I would certainly not tell anyone how to feel, especially not a black person, how to feel on a day like yesterday and today, it does seem to me if not a turning point, a powerful symbol that we may look back on it and say that was a watershed moment. How do you feel about that?
Max, I am hopeful, my brother. Don't get me wrong. I think the George Floyd episode is the beginning of the end as opposed to the end of the beginning. But I'm also hesitant because I understand the challenges that still lie ahead. Man, it took 5 or 6 experts, 5 use of force experts, money and resources that only a state can marshal together for them to prove to a jury that a police officer was in fact doing something wrong. You spoke earlier this morning on First Take about the value of that witness, Ms. Daniela Frazier, who recorded everything. We are lucky here in California that we have the Right to Record Act.
Oh, that's coming, Carl. That's coming. You know what's next through the state legislatures is you can't record stuff. Watch. Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
California, they say as long as you do not interfere with the officer doing his job like Daniela Frazier could do, you cannot be sanctioned and he cannot be arrested. Nothing can happen by recording. We are often in California at the forefront. And with shows like yours and guests that talk about it, perhaps we can begin a movement, man. 5 years ago, Black Lives Matter was just a thought. And now it's the beginning of a movement. So I am hopeful that this is the beginning of the end. Although, Max, reform moves at the pace of an ocean liner, not a speedboat. I wish it were different, but it's not.
And justice postponed is justice or denied. I mean, the Martin Luther King quote, of course, is as true today as ever. Carl, you mentioned it. You're 65 years. By the way, how are you and Will Bond in the same cafeteria when you're 65 and he's 60? Where was it vice versa?
Maybe I stayed back. Maybe he jumped up. But we used to sit around. He was a freshman and I was an upperclassman. I would try to impart my wisdom on that young brother from Chicago.
So you guys really did know each other then?
Yeah. I was a senior, he was a freshman.
Marcellus Wiley and I went to Columbia together, crossed paths, but never, you know, leave Marcellus alone. He's going to make it. He's going to get to the NFL. I didn't want to be a bad influence. Carl, so given your age, you were alive through part of the civil rights movement and like conscious of it. I look back at Muhammad Ali, at Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, and athletes who were at the forefront of the civil rights struggle. And now I look today and I see athletes like LeBron James, like, by the way, the WNBA, many players in the WNBA right at the forefront. And I see them, I don't want to overstate it because it's a sports show and I'm looking at everything through the prism of sports, but it does seem to me to have made a difference because it affects popular culture, and as much of this as this is a political kind of struggle, it really does help to be winning the culture war, and that seems to me to be absolutely positively affected by athletes. And what is your feeling about that subject?
Max, I was raised under the enormous weight of Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. He is my Michael Jordan. The most cherished photograph I have in my office is a picture of me and Muhammad Ali, because he used his platform for things that he believed in. He took a stand politically at the height of his athletic skill and took a stand for justice. He would talk trash and back it up, and I so admire that. I admire LeBron James not only for bringing a title to my Lakers and aligning the stars again, but he is not afraid to use the enormity of his platform for social justice and social change. I admire the Atlanta Dream for talking about Breonna Taylor, because in 6 months after she died, the family was able to receive $12 million. Max, I've been suing cops for 41 years. I never heard of a black woman getting $12 million in 6 months. But in major part because that name, say her name, resonated across the globe. It made politicians work, and justice was able to be meted for one needful family.
Listen, throughout most of this country's history, black life has been cheap. And what I think we are seeing as a result of a lot of hard work, a lot of suffering, organizing, and fighting, is that it's getting more expensive. And that's a good thing. Carl, always appreciate it when you come on the show.
Max, it's a pleasure, man. I just love your platform, my brother. Next time.
Carl Douglas, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow him at CEDESQ as an Esquire, CEDESQ. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Will we ever see, because there are still sports going on, will we ever see a healthy big three from the Nets again? We're going to talk a little bit of sports coming up. We are going to be talking about the verdict throughout the show, but we're also going to work some sports in. This weekend's UFC 261 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. DraftKings is safe and secure and reliable, so you can deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code MAX to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code MAX to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Another setback for the Nets.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. L.A., yeah, we're talking the conviction today, folks, but we are going to talk some sports. What if LeBron isn't the best in the world anymore? What does that mean? He has to prove it again and again every postseason. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and I'd like to welcome in, if he's paid his internet bill, CP the franchise, Knicks Fan TV, because every time we try to have him on, there's some problem. I'm starting to think that CP stands for can't pay. Okay, all the buzz, right? They've won seven in a row. I see that, CP. The Knicks are on a winning streak.
Yes, sir. The orange and blue, yeah. The number one story in the NBA, once again, Max Kellerman, seven in a row. They are red hot. You got Julius Randle, the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, averaging 35 mm-hmm. points, eight rebounds, and six assists last week after dominating your Lakers, dominating your Lord and Savior Kristaps Porzingis, and dominating Zion Williamson and the Pelicans twice. We are a half game behind the Hawks for fourth place. Hawks coming in tonight. to be lunch meat for 8 in a row, and the New York Knicks are buzzing. We are clicking right now.
I must be great to be a Knicks fan, CP. Once every 10 to 15 years, you can brag about maybe being a top four playoff seed. It's great. Listen, it's good to see you. And by the way, CP, you are a person of color. You are on the show today, and even if you, whatever, you could be a white guy, but people have feelings about the verdict from yesterday. So if you are interested in making a comment, I want to give you the space to do it. If not, if you're like, look, I've said what I had to say, people have said what they have to say, I want to talk sports, I'll leave it up to you. I don't mean to like blindside you with it, but it occurs to me, maybe you'd like to say something about it before we get into basketball.
Hey. Yeah, he's real. And listen, I am a black man in America. I'm a black father raising a black son in America. So yesterday's verdict weighed heavy on my mind. I have to agree with a lot of the sentiment, like Michael Wilbon said. I don't necessarily see it as a complete victory for social justice and the criminal justice system. It's a small victory for the family. We'll never be able to get George Floyd back, but it's a small victory for them. I think for us, you know, we have a lot of work to do. The beauty about our platforms is that it brings us together as a community. I just wish that us as a society would bring that same energy, that same vigor that we bring to supporting our teams, in supporting other races, other cultures, to ensure that we not only have, you know, legal justice, but economic justice, education, housing, medical, all across the board. You know, we want equality and we want fairness for all, no doubt about it.
That's well said, CP. Let's talk some basketball. I know you'd love to talk about the Knicks, but this is going out to the whole country. So let's talk about a story that people care about. The Brooklyn Nets. James Harden. Dude, they're talking about he's out indefinitely. They can't put a timetable on it. What are your thoughts about what the Nets are facing right now?
You know what? It's tough. These guys have to bounce back and get healthy so that they can gain some sort of chemistry before the playoffs come around. You know, Steve Nash is now saying that James Harden may not even be back until that time. You already have Kevin Durant out day to day with the thigh contusion. Kyrie Irving, though, has been holding it down. You know, the one thing I talk about with this Nets team that you have to like is that they have three absolute bucket getters. The Nets lead the league right now with 24 clutch wins. They define clutch as the game being within 5 points, under 5 minutes to go. So the thing about the Nets is that they're the number one team in isolation. They have three bucket getters. When the game slows down in the half court in the playoffs, you're going to rely on those guys to go out and do what they do best, which is score at all three levels. So offensively, I think they'll be fine. Now on the defense, they'll have to figure out where they want to go and make sure that they get guys healthy. You know, Embiid is going to want to bang. Giannis is going to want to bang. Who are the Nets going to have to cover those guys? Can they hold up during that grind that is the NBA playoffs? I think that's the bigger question to me. There's three teams since the NBA and ABA merger that have won the NBA championship with a defensive ranking below 10. That's the 95 Rockets, the 2001 Lakers with Shaq and Kobe, and then the 2017 Golden State Warriors. I still think the Nets could be that fourth team, but they got to get healthy and come back together quickly.
I think that's good analysis. I would say that they can't do anything with Embiid. Like, they have some bodies they could throw at him, Blake and Claxton and DeAndre, but he's going to get his. It's just that when he gets three, it's three the hard way, and the Nets, meantime, are going to be bombing for everywhere. I agree with you. I think if they're healthy, they'll be the fourth on the list. You mentioned talking to CP, the franchise, Knicks Fan TV. CP, my kind of view of what LeBron does every year is at a certain point in his career, I think post-Pat Riley, he was like, I can't keep the pedal to the metal both ends of the floor all year. Someone else could have it in the regular season. Here, KD, there's the MVP. And KD deserved it. Not like Jordan. They used to give it to Malone and Barkley. Jordan was so much better than them, even in the regular season. It was embarrassing. But KD genuinely was. Steph genuinely was better than LeBron in the regular season. Then LeBron uses the playoffs that by the end of the playoffs, we go, oh, yeah, no, he's the best. But he has to keep proving that every year. He's another year older. Harden and all these guys are playing amazing with it. Is he still the best player in the world? Does he have to be? Not just an MVP-level guy, but the best player in the world for the Lakers to get out of the West?
I don't play in the world for the Lakers to get out the West, because you still have Anthony Davis. Now, Anthony Davis is supposed to be coming back this week. That should take a lot of the load off of LeBron. He had an outstanding NBA Finals and NBA playoff run last year. That being said, LeBron is still at the top of the tops when it comes to being the best player in the league. I mean, 36 years old, to see what he's been able to accomplish. Yes, he's down with the high ankle sprain now, but there's no question that LeBron James is still at the top of his game. You know, when he comes back, the Lakers should be able to, you know, hopefully they get some chemistry and get things together. But, you know, he's still going to be the dynamo in terms of scoring points, getting these guys involved in terms of the passing game and playmaking. We're going to see what type of chemistry he develops with Andre Drummond. You know, Andre Drummond sets a lot of good screens. How does that get LeBron going downhill for him to attack the basket? So you still have to respect LeBron James's game. It's hard to count him out, but this is a Laker team just like the Nets that have to come together and get chemistry fast.
Speaking of can't count him out and respecting his game, we got about 30 seconds, CP. Steph Curry has forced his way into the MVP conversation. Where do you have him in that race right now? Where would you rank him? You don't have to. He's not number one or two for me either, but he is on my list. I have him third right now. Where do you have him?
Is Randle. Number one, we got to factor wins into this thing, man. And as much as Steph is torching the Nets right now, especially from three, when do we put some respect on Nikola Jokic's name and give him the honors that goes to the best player in the league? The guy's an absolute dynamo and a force for the Denver Nuggets. A second-round pick went into this game against the Grizzlies, winning that game in double overtime, 47 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists. Nikola Jokic is an absolute genius. He's a maestro on the court. It's time to give him respect. Listen, Steph has won it twice already. And it's very hard to find objective criteria once you get to these guys that are at the top of the league. But I got to factor in winning as well. You know, the Warriors are a bad team with Steph. They're a bad team without Steph. So Jokic is number one. Number two, how about Chris Paul? You know, the Phoenix Suns now at second in the West after not making the playoffs last year. Chris Paul now on his way to 11 straight winning seasons. I put him up there with LeBron James as not only a superstar, but an absolute team changer. Meaning when he gets to a team, he automatically improves their winning percentage. Look what he did with the OKC Thunder last year. And at his age, I think Chris Paul should also be in consideration. So great season by Steph, no doubt about it. Best shooter of all time. But he's won the MVP twice already. And I got to factor in wins when I'm considering the MVP.
Not to mention
Julius Randle, close third.
Not to mention Damian Lillard. CP, the franchise, ladies and gentlemen. All right, CP, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Find out what team will draft Justin Fields, according to Vegas, coming up. Baseball's back, so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/baseball. So who will be drafting Justin Fields?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Who do you believe, Vegas or our draft experts? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Vegas says Justin Fields is going to San Francisco. Las Vegas odds still favor Justin Fields as the 49ers pick with the third selection in the draft. However, listen to our draft experts here at ESPN. This is Chris Mortensen.
What I am hearing is that this is Mac Jones, and it's in the 90th percentile in terms of likely to be picked there when they made that trade from 12 to 3. That was the pick. But there was a 10% margin there, and I trying to sort out, well, who's got the advantage between Trey Lance and Justin Fields on that remaining percentage. I was told Trey Lance probably over Justin Fields. But this Mac Jones, right now, you would have to put your money down. I know Vegas says differently, that it will be Mac Jones.
Listen to Mel Kiper, ESPN senior NFL draft analyst from yesterday's Max Kellerman show.
If you're trading up from 12 to 3, you better identify who you're going up to get. And obviously, Zach Wilson, everybody kind of knew was maybe going to be a Jet. And then you better have a quarterback or two next in line that you're going to love at number 3. And we believed it was Mac Jones or Trey Lance when that trade was made, not Justin Fields. So that's their feeling. That's what you have to go by from what you're hearing from the league sources that you have. So I think it's going to be either Mac Jones or Trey Lance, not Justin Fields.
So there you have it. our guys are saying what they're hearing is it's going to be Mac Jones. Vegas. Now, understand, when odds makers make odds, what they're really doing when they're handicapping, what they're doing is they're trying to set a line at which you have equal action on both sides, right? So normally what Vegas does is reflect the wisdom of crowds. That really what it's an indication of is what everyone together thinks. But the experts, the insiders, the smart money, so to speak, is heavily weighted toward Mac Jones. Manny in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Big fan, Max. How's it going today?
Good, thanks. What's up?
Not much. Just thinking about the Nets. I'm a Lakers fan. Happy AD and, LeBron's on the way out. And I don't know. I'm thinking we might run it back. What do you think?
I think if the Nets are healthy, I don't think anyone can stop them, including the Lakers. I think if the Lakers are healthy, they're going to get out of the West. But I don't know that the Nets will be healthy or the Lakers will be healthy. So if you're a Lakers fan, and I am, and it's, by the way, as far as my rooting interest in New York goes, I root for the Nets. But if you're a Lakers fan, you really just got to concentrate right now. Like, your focus should be, can the Lakers get healthy and get in rhythm in time for the playoffs? Because if they can't, if they're not, if AD's 80% or LeBron has slipped a little bit, I don't know that they get past Utah. I don't know that they get past Phoenix, and I don't think they get past the Clippers. Victor in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. How you doing, bro?
Good. Go ahead, Victor.
I want to talk New York Giants, bro. I want to talk Danny Dimes. I want to know if he don't hold on to the ball this year, is it time to get rid of him or not?
If he don't hold on to the ball, what now?
If he doesn't hold on to the ball this year and secure the ball and lead us to a winning season, you think it's over for him, or you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the issue, and Mel Kiper talked about it on the show yesterday because I said, hey, if Trey Lance falls to 9 or 10, maybe the Giants should trade up and grab him and develop him behind Daniel Jones in case Daniel Jones doesn't work out. Or even if he does, you can make a decision in a couple years who you want to keep. And Mel Kiper said, yeah, theoretically that works. Like, that might work in Denver. They don't think as much of Drew Lock. But Dave Gettleman's job is tied to Daniel Jones. And this is the issue. There are perverse incentives for GMs in football. A lot of times their job is tied to a certain guy, and so rather than look out for the best interest of the team, they look out for their own best interest. Guilty on all counts. How did the sports world react?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.